The CMO Confidential Podcast is a proud member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. Looking to launch or scale your podcast? I Hear Everything delivers podcast production, growth, and monetization solutions that transform your words into profit. Ready to give your brand a voice? Then visit IHearEverything.com.
Welcome to CMO Confidential, the podcast that takes you inside the drama, decisions, and choices that go with being the head of marketing. Hosted by five-time CMO Mike Linton.
Welcome, marketers, advertisers, and those who love them, to Chief Marketing Officer Confidential. CMO Confidential is a program that takes you inside the drama, the decisions, and the politics that go with being the head of marketing at any company, in what is one of the most scrutinized jobs in the executive suite. I'm Mike Linton, the former chief marketing officer of Best Buy, eBay, Farmers Insurance, and Ancestry.com, here today with my guest, Mike Kitts. Today's topic: are business schools adequately preparing marketers for the real world? Now, Mike is uniquely positioned to talk about this. He's a marketing professor at the University of Notre Dame. Go Fighting Irish, unless they're playing Duke, where he has been teaching integrated business and engineering for 12 years, a little over 12 years. He was previously the CMO of OfficeMax, the VP of marketing at Goodyear, and a Procter & Gamble brand manager. So he's really putting a very unique perspective here, in my mind, combining engineering, marketing, academic, and all of the real world stuff wrapped up into one interview. Welcome, Mike.
Oh, thank you, Mike. I am thrilled to be here. It's always good to talk to another Mike.
There we go. Yes. Mike's from Procter. There's a lot of us. All right. So let's start with a quick overview of what you're seeing in marketing in the wild. When you look at all the marketers out there and what's going on, what is your view of how the profession is trending?
Well, you know, and I get a lot of this from, you know, talking to some of my former colleagues, certainly, you know, lots of reading and a bit from the students who I'm interacting with, but a lot just trying to stay on top of what's going on. And, you know, it's amazing that so much more technology has come into marketing now and all this kind of data. But at the same time, I think the level of kind of what's created has really suffered through that. And there's still, you know, great brands. There's still great things happening out there, but it's becoming a bit more technical than I remember kind of from my time doing this. We're always very analytical, some of the things we did, but it's even more so today.
So are you implying that marketing, while it's adding math, is actually subtracting something else? Because I can't let this go, because one of the things you would say is, the ideal thing for marketing to be doing right now would be adding math and maintaining all its creativity. But what I heard in that opening statement is, while we're adding a lot more math, we are actually sacrificing maybe long-term vision and maybe creativity. Is that fair for what you just said?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's the real, there's, you know, so much more data and you can measure things, and there's certain people in the C-suite that wants to see things measured. So it's easier to go and show whether, I mean, long ago it was clicks, so thankfully we're beyond that. But it's some people are getting back to that as sort of the crutch, and they're losing the longer term business building and brand building aspects because of what you can deliver as you get back to some of your colleagues. I think there's also a whole slew of marketers who are really just about kind of funnel marketers around, help bring some customers in, take them down the funnel, but very little in those cases around what do you really build in the long term? And the long term is where the value is. You know, when a company buys another company, you know, a good portion of that goodwill that can't be explained is the value of the brand, you know?
Yeah, that's like Procter buys Gillette and has to put a couple billion dollars on the balance sheet, but has nothing on the balance sheet for Tide, Crest, or Pampers, which is that's super interesting. So let's flip this over to the B school front. What are most schools teaching now? And you don't have to speak for Notre Dame. You could just throw a blanket all over business schools. And I'll give you a little background. we get a lot of calls in between the shows, and some of our guests have intimated that much of marketing, the marketing curriculum at a lot of schools, is outdated and very functional in nature, including some courses that are still teaching the four P's of marketing. Tell us about that. Is that what you're seeing across the country, not Notre Dame?
Yeah, I mean, I do look at some of the programs, and some of the best ones, Northwestern and Stanford, and I'm a graduate MBA from Michigan. I thought it was a good program.
Yeah, and nice, nice football championship, by the way.
Yeah. There's still a lot of those kind of functional courses, but frankly, when I go over to finance, it's a lot of functional finance courses. You look at the HR courses, again, all kind of functional. And I think that the challenge with that is what's missing is the integrative piece. Now, a lot of schools will have kind of programs or kind of courses where you're coming together sort of cross-functionally, but I don't think there's enough of that in a lot of schools in the kind of the projects that you go forward with. Because when I forward to my marketing career, and my engineering career, right, everything is tends to be done cross-functional, and you need to know sort of how your decisions, whether the engineers who are creating products, how they affect marketers, the marketers, how their programs are affecting, sales and profits in the bottom line. And so that holistic piece, I think, is one of the things that's missing. But I'm not sure. It's pretty hard for, I think, a school to do that. They may come up with projects or clubs where you do that. But my view is you really learn that on the job as you're going forward. But I do think you can better prepare people for those intersections and how to work with more people going forward.
Yeah, we had one of our guests, Jim Stengel, also from Proctor, say the CMO job really is 90% C, 10% M. But I guess when I look at this, I think are schools really teaching that soft skill stuff and the leadership skills, particularly in this space? Because one of the things, if you're in engineering or you're at the bottom end of the performance end of marketing, or you're in finance, all those functional courses, that actually, a lot of that is the job. The marketing job is translating the data into something that moves today's numbers and sets you up to make tomorrow's numbers. And that requires people to buy into the story and discuss stuff. Are schools actually evolving any classes there, or even on the math front, evolving any new classes like how to manage all this data really at speed?
Well, a few things. Also, I want to just give some clarity for the listeners. Strangely enough, I sit in the College of Engineering. So I teach, this business, integrated engineering and business class. And then a graduate program for entrepreneurship, I teach their fundamental marketing class. So for clarity with that. But the schools will have, some leadership kind of courses and some other things. And it's there's very few in the engineering curriculum. We've actually added one before I got here at Notre Dame around that. And that's one of the courses I teach. It's really the soft skills. I like to call it the high performance skills.
Yeah.
Because what we see is that there's tons of graduates who are technically competent in engineering, technically competent in marketing, technically competent in finance. But the differentiator in your career are these other skills. What are your leadership skills, your management skills, your ability to persuade, your ability to, in the case of marketing and product development, to lead a creative process.
Be a good judge of you got six choices. The math isn't clear on any of them. You have to make the choice before the math comes in.
That is hard to teach, so to speak. And so, like what we do in my class is we introduce some of the topics of leadership, emotional intelligence, the different leadership styles. We use a Korn Ferry, assessment, so the students can assess themselves. They learn a little bit about the theory, and then what we push them to do is start putting them in practice in your clubs and the kind of things that you're working on. You're going to gain in your experience. That'll help you with interviews in your first job. But then what happens in their early part of their career, they're getting more and more engaging assignments. We teach a segment on how to give a presentation, right? Whether you're a short one-on-one person, you're selling your ideas, or you're up in front of people. And people struggle through it. They get better over the course of the... And that's the number one thing I hear back from students. And they come back and they say, boy, I was presenting, and there was a VP came up after and said, where'd you learn how to present?
That's a big deal, because companies go, they join a story and a vision. They don't join a spreadsheet hardly ever.
Yeah. And we teach financial skills. The language and scorecard of business are the financial statements and the ratios. And so we teach that to the marketers. We teach that to the engineers. And again, I talked to, they're 3 or 4 years out, some of these engineers. There's engineers from Stanford and Michigan and Purdue. And the project comes up, and they still have their own swim lane, what they got to do. The Notre Dame engineer, who've taken my class. But they're the only one who knows what return on investment is. Guess what? They now get to do their thing and then track the project budget and all kinds of other stuff. They're interacting with finance people. And all this kinds of stuff really helps prepare them better. They get off to a career start.
Why did you create this class? Because you created it, right? I mean, you invented this class.
No, I got to give a guy named Bob Dunn. He came from IBM. He sat down and said, what do people need to learn? But to the school's credit, they kind of let them create it. And then it was a fight to have it count as a technical elective or whatever. But we cover lots of subjects, but only just an inch deep. That just gives enough that people can converse. They'll learn better. They'll learn faster. And so it's really just stepping back. And my same course could work, not so much in purely in business school, because they cover all generally the topics, but whether, there are people who are econ majors and history majors or biology majors or whatever, it can all be very useful, because they just learn enough about business that when they learn the specifics about a company, what their mission and what their role is at that company, they're just far more effective.
So what do you hear from the companies that come in and recruit? What are they saying about, college graduates today?
I think a lot of them are saying that people are really focused on, getting that first job. Some of them are focused on the big names and what's going on that. But they're... what comes back more often, and it comes back in this question, Mike. I ask people, the recruiters, I said, so what distinguishes people in your company 2 or 3, 5 years later versus, all these smart people who are hiring as you go through this? And the answer always surprises me. Curiosity, a willingness to speak up in meetings. It just showcases a learning attitude. They think, we'll teach you kind of what you need to do, whether you go into consulting or whether you go into a traditional marketing role or whatever. They'll kind of teach you, but they want people who are curious and can communicate well, and they will do better.
And how do you teach that in school or B school or anywhere? Like, how do you make kids more curious? Because honestly, you see a lot of marketing students come out thinking, I got the funnel, I got the math, I'm technically great at performance marketing, I should be promoted. And then you're managing them and they're like, look at this, I'm a super efficient SEM person, I should get promoted. And that's not the thing that gets you promoted. But what should they be teaching in class now to these kids to keep them from getting in the way of their own career?
Yeah, some of the schools are doing a bit more where maybe it's the influence of the design school, like the D school at Stanford.
Right.
Learning some of the design thinking methods, which you can apply, in my mind, you can apply it to marketing.
Right.
You need to know what's going on and what the trends are and whether it's culturally, technology, the whole thing. But can you then run lots of small experiments? Is it okay to fail? So we have some classes where we do that, where people are creating very fragile ideas and they may fail, and you begin to sort the ideas of what's working. In the short class, you don't have enough time then to maybe revise them and certainly put them in the marketplace or anything, begin to see what happens. But that mindset of let me have, do lots of small experiments, see what works, and then let me accelerate on those things that are working. And that will help them better off, you know, in their career. Because if you're just kind of doing what was done last year, I take last year's budget, last year's program, and I'll tweak it a little bit and be a little bit more efficient over here, you're going nowhere. And the pace of change and the technology and the expectation is so fast, your marketing metrics are going to be going down.
Yes. And so you've seen marketing students, or actually engineering students, and I guess by definition, you've seen enough marketing students. How is the student evolved over the last 10 years?
Certainly, they're more on top of technology than certainly when you and I kind of were in school, and you know, always the latest. I tried to find young people who were doing the latest things, so maybe even help tutor, mentor me.
Right.
So they're digital natives. As they go, certainly they're beginning to use these AI tools, and they use it. They're much more willing to experiment and create within that context. I'm sitting back trying to figure out how can I add some AI like assignments into my class to make them.
Which is super, super important to get some practice. But how about one of the things I've heard from callers, not on the show, is culturally, some of these students are really more driven to not to be wanting to join a cause versus a company. And that sometimes that gets in the way when they join the company. What are you seeing there?
Yeah, there is certainly this view of what I'm doing. I want to make an impact on the world. I want to make an impact on the world. And so, some of the older traditional, I'll say fossil fuel companies, for example, there's some people don't want to join them, or defense companies or things of that nature. But a whole lot, you know, want to go into, you know, energy transition and.
Sure.
Know, working for Tesla or the space companies or, you know, some of these new things, but because they want to make an impact. And I see a lot of companies in their recruiting stuff, they try to get to a higher level of, you know, what the goal, what the mission and vision of the company is. That's a little bit more than, you know, selling soap. But
I love selling soap.
So do I. I'm still a Tide loyalist.
There you go. And and think how well we can do laundry because of that job. So if I want to be a marketing leader, what classes or experiences should I be getting as a student now that I'm not getting? Like, should I just take the marketing stuff and get my MBA and be done with it? What should I be doing?
Well, you know, you got to take the fundamental courses because that technical knowledge you've got to know. And then I recommend, you know, looking for experiences in clubs or internships where then the experience is broader. So like there's I think it's an international club, SIBC, which is really some business council or something, International Business Council. They get real projects from real companies, from Microsoft, from Tesla, from Samsung. And they've got to come together to cross-functional team. And it's kind of a mini consulting project. But in that, they get to work with, you know, marketers, finance people, engineers, wrestle with a company problem, and then they go present to the company executives. Great learning experience. Now, that's outside of the classroom, but you've got to be proactive to kind of get those kinds of experiences. Start a small business. Now, there's lots of businesses in and around campus, I think, is another way to really hone your skills, begin to see kind of what works and what doesn't. And there are people who want to do startups, right? And they may be kind of working on those kinds of things. Even if that's not your thing, you work with a student team doing a startup, maybe as a partial or just a traditional business selling, you know, cupcakes on campus or
interning for CMO Confidential, for example. That, we do it. You know, we have an intern. So you flipped over from a pretty impressive marketing career into academics. How did that work? Like what made you do that? And what advice would you give people trying to do that?
Well, part of it was serendipitous. This specific program I teach at Notre Dame, I was aware of, and I liked this intersection of business leadership and, you know, the kind of things that were taught. But secondly, step back to myself. I always liked coaching. I liked mentoring. I was always tapped on my shoulder to kind of do employer orientations, you know, kind of classroom kinds of stuff inside the, so there was something about that that like, that I liked teach somewhere, you know, so that was further out. And then I was, thirdly, I was doing guest lectures here at Notre Dame a couple times a year in different classes, one marketing one with different, and also an engineering class. I loved it. So when the opportunity came up, what was unique about it? Well, there are a lot more of these than people think. There are full-time faculty members who are not research faculty. That's what we traditionally think of. So it's a full-time job. Adjunct is very different. That's what a lot of executives think about. Adjunct is part-time. You're not paid much, and maybe you don't need to get paid a whole lot. But in my mind, I said, oh, this would be perfect when I'm 58. Well, the opportunity came up, and I was 50. So then I had to decide, do I want to step off that C-suite track and switch to this as a second career? And it was a, you know, a hard decision. I was in the peak earning years and nature, and there's parts of the job I absolutely loved. But I was drawn to the teaching, and that, and I will say my life's a lot less stressful. I'm making an impact. I love what I'm doing because you're impacting so many young people. They keep coming to you about career advice and all kinds of stuff beyond the classroom.
Let's go on that career advice a little more, because if college and B school can only get you so far, how, and I think what you said, and I want to make sure I got this right, if you want to be a marketing leader someday, you should be getting as much hands-on experience as possible while you go through your college years. Is that right?
Yes. And it may not be marketing specific, sure, but also just some general business stuff. You learn so much about people. You learn a little bit about working in teams, and you just have an understanding of the business. So wherever you get placed, you'll learn faster and you'll have a better impact.
That speed of learning, and also that curiosity, go do something different and learn it, and the practice. So when you get to a company, you can learn it better. Tell me one more thing before we get to the end, towards the end of the show, which is the adjunct professor. Like, one of the things is, it's not the easiest thing to get, actually, to be an adjunct. And it's also unclear that universities actually want all these people helping them. Any advice for people that want to do the adjunct gig?
Yeah, I'd say first kind of get involved in a small way, whatever university you're interested in. That small way may be giving a guest lecture in a class, leading a case study competition, or you're giving feedback on student finals. Like I sat at a marketing strategy Jim Leschetsky ran, and it was for Portillo's. And at the end, they came and presented.
And that's a Northwestern prof, right?
Yeah, but he was doing this for Notre Dame at the time. Jim was. He was still at Google.
I'm shocked that I just recalled that. But yes, okay.
Yes. And so, you know, the CEO and the chief marketing officer of Portillo's were there. The student teams were presenting. And I was, you know, another person there kind of judging, you know, the feedback and giving the students feedback. All that work, Mike, is around building a relationship with the school. And maybe you get to know the department head. And then you drop some hints that you would love to teach a class and in this subject or that subject or whatever. Adjuncts are the part-time faculty. So they'll get hired when they need more, and they get less, you know, they don't get hired when they need.
They get unhired when they don't.
Yeah. But if you're teaching a class that is really well-loved, it'll happen again and again. We've got a number of people in Mendoza that started that way near the end of their career. They're beloved professors. And then over time, they got hired as full-time professors. But you got to start kind of with, if you just kind of walk in and say, hey, I'm a former CMO, and I'd love to come teach at, you know, at the University of Akron, they'll be like, who, what? You know, they may be happy to see you, but there's like, it's this fit for, there's a need, and they know you, and then they'll engage you.
Got it. Thank you. So we're almost at out of time here. So this is a two-part question. You have to take one part, and you can take both if you wish. Practical advice for our audience we haven't talked about yet, and or funniest story you can share on the air.
Okay. First, practical advice. For marketers. They're creative. They love kind of the marketing thing. Know the finances. If you can't do a simple return on investment of, or even what you're, some new event that you're trying to go, how is this going to impact the business? So that's my practical advice. You're going to be so much more valuable to your CEO, your CFO, even your chief marketing officer, if you know that. Funniest story. And then I want to add just one little coda coming back to my education, or I mean, teach. So I was, I'm in Hollywood. We're doing a commercial shoot. And so I'm there at breakfast at the hotel. And I hear this conversation at the table next to me, these two guys yucking it up about how much they're pulled, what the huge budget they're doing on this automotive TV commercial. Those guys in Detroit don't know anything. These people are tripling their budget and they're kind of playing off each other. And I did this with this company, I did that with this company. And I'm just sitting there eating my breakfast going, So I knew about some people in marketing in automotive companies. I relay the conversation. And at least one company, about a month later, they worked through their agency. I would have been pissed at my agency too, but they, some of their commercial shoot budgets came down about 40%. So watch what you say. Watch what you say.
Yes.
Lastly, I
all the side of humble pie with my omelet. So
yes.
Okay.
I Super Bowl. You watch the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, everyone does.
Yeah. So I had this unique thing this year with the Super Bowl, a unique thing. Former students, three people were involved with the Super Bowl. One was Drew Tranquil, who is on the Kansas City Chiefs defense. He's a mechanical engineer. I mean, great student. I mean, how do you do engineering and play football full time? Fabulous. But I have two former students who did a startup called Halo, and they did a Super Bowl commercial. So they graduated in 2015. And they had a Super Bowl commercial this past year. It's a faith-based meditation app. I'll just say, Mike, the commercial was so successful that a few days later, they were the number one downloaded app on Apple iOS ahead of Temu. Is that was the other one? Did a lot of
Yeah,
big
Temu had two,
commercial.
more
I
than
had
half.
ChatGPT, Paramount Plus, whatever. Some of the former students there at the Super Bowl.
Look at all that teaching you can be proud of there,
They were
Mike.
smart marketers. They bought only half. They didn't do a national commercial. They only bought half in the markets where they knew their customers were, so spent a lot less money. Huge effectiveness, no awareness. I mean, this is a new, they're at Series D or something. They've been raising a lot of money, but how about that?
Look at all that teaching impact you've had.
Yeah, that's it.
I hope they're at least getting the app for free. So anyways, I think this is a great way to end the show. Thank you, Mike, and thanks everyone for listening to CMO Confidential. If you are enjoying our show, hit the like button, share, and subscribe. And look for all of our shows on Spotify, Apple, and YouTube, which include Marketing, The Battle Between Believers and Non-Believers, The Budweiser Case, How Not to Manage Socio-Political Issues, What Private Equity Really Thinks About Marketing, and Is the CMO Job Headed for Extinction? Hey, all you marketers, stay safe out there. This is Mike Linton signing off for CMO Confidential.